Alrighty then, and welcome. This is Trending Now with Josh Arnold. I'm Rick Moore with Josh Arnold, our producer and engineer Bill Proposky, on the first day of September. Welcome.
Welcome, yes, thank you. It's a little chilly, cool.
It's ridiculously chilly for this time of year, but whatever.
Refreshing, I suppose.
You don't hear me complaining.
Yeah, yeah, except for the allergies, it's great.
All right, what do we have?
I have Joel Favazza, who's a member of the Gloucester School Committee, seeking re-election up first. Ken Hecht, who's new to politics in Gloucester, is running for Ward 2 in Gloucester. I have Jen Holmgren, a candidate at large for City Council in Gloucester, and Jason Silva would join us late who's not seeking re-election but is a city councilor in Beverly.
Okay, that's coming up here on Trending Now. Stay with us.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our first guest is Joel Favazza. Joel, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we usually start out and ask folks to give us the 3 or 4 minute bio, so why don't you start there and then we could get into some questions.
Sure. So, born and raised in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
On MSONewsports.com.
Seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street, a great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We'll treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson 400 Series windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire. The Anderson 400 is attractive, durable, energy efficient, and reasonably priced. Remember, Anderson is the most trusted name in windows. See the Anderson 400 at any of our three locations. That's North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our next guest is Ken Hecht, a candidate for Ward 2 City Council in Gloucester. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Well, Ken, we usually start out and ask the guest to give us a 3 or 4 or 5 minute bio. Why don't you start there, and then maybe we could get into some questions from there.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Right now I live at 191 Main Street in Gloucester. Right next to the police station. My wife and I bought the old bank building where Trident Gallery and Blue River Diamonds is, and we rehabbed that building, and we are fortunate enough to live there. So a lot of people know us by that, and we've been able to really, you know, get to know a lot of people through rehabbing that building, and it's turned out just beautifully. I was born on the south side of Chicago. My dad's one of five kids. My father's a retired and now deceased Chicago firefighter and carpenter, and my mom was a housewife taking care of the five kids, plus our grandmother lived with us. So growing up as a kid, we didn't have much money, and but my folks were smart enough, and they just saved, and they saved their money, and they were able to send us to Catholic grade school and Catholic high school, because the schools on the south side of Chicago can be a little bit challenged, and I was very grateful for that, and I played football and soccer and that sort of thing in my younger days. But I went then to the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. It was interesting because when I was a senior in high school, I went there and on the recommendation to visit one of my neighbors, and I drank beer, and I thought that was terrific. So I went to the University of Illinois, and I happened to be good at science and math, so I studied engineering there, and lo and behold, I studied civil engineering, and it's been rated, even since I was there, at the number one or number two civil engineering school in the country. So I just really lucked out there. I lucked out going to this great university and having, you know, fantastic friends that came out of there, including I was invited to join a fraternity there by a fellow South Side of Chicago guy who went to my high school. And last year I was honored enough to get the Alumni of the Year Award for all the fundraising and work I'd done for that fraternity down at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois.
Great.
Then, as an engineer, I went to Houston, then St. Louis, and then Boston. And in Boston, to build a control tower in Everett for the LNG tankers as an engineer. And I met my wife the very first night at the 99 in Linfield, and that was it. We've been married for 32 years.
Great, great. So what motivated you to seek elective office as a Ward 2 counselor in Gloucester this year?
Well, I don't think I'm alone in my love for Gloucester. To me, it's like falling like a ton of bricks for, you know, your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or husband. And I'm so in love with the place. I can't even. My friends from out of town are just so sick of me hearing about Gloucester this and Gloucester that. So I'm just so excited about it. I think we're at a point in time where my background in commercial real estate, engineering, and business can really help, as Gloucester has a lot of major things to decide. In addition to, you know, Ward 2, it's potholes, it's streets, it's parking, it's trees and parks and lighting and security and that sort of thing. And so I feel very particularly matched for the position in terms of my background of getting a lot done and managing properties and owning properties and getting things done, getting them done. So I'm really looking forward to the major projects that we've got to look at as well. There's the Fuller School, there's, you know, I-4C-2, there's the old YMCA. If the Fuller School project happens, there's Cameron's project. There's so many projects in Gloucester that we have to be very careful about, that I feel my skill set is particularly appropriate for the kinds of challenges that we face as a community.
Okay. What in the context of so you I guess you sort of answered my question, but let me just throw it out anyway. In what ways has your education and background helped you or created a framework to help you as a member of the city council? And in what specific areas do you think that would work?
Yeah, I think that, you know, being a member of the planning board has been very helpful for me to understand the process of the city and permitting from the city's perspective. So that's been extremely helpful. And just the ability, when I do things, I obsess, with our projects, over $100. And I think it's that kind of a mentality that I hope to bring to the city council of, watching our budget, making sure we're spending our money in the right places, figuring out, what projects are healthy for the city, both from a, impact point of view, with traffic and all this other kind of thing, as well as, what are the positive fiscal impacts, meaning, tax revenues. If we get an extra $500,000 coming in the door, taxes, that's more teachers. That's better, for our students, and better roads and potholes getting filled and that sort of thing. So it's my experience of engineering and business and getting things done, with, having commercial real estate background that I do have, I think it's going to come in very handy with, getting things done in the city.
Great. What do you think are the real issues that people are going to be talking about in this election for city council? Well, not just, ward issues, but the bigger picture, whether it's economic development, whether it's redistricting of schools, better planning, capital improvements. What are the issues that you see on the forefront that will be talked about in this campaign, but will essentially be part of the agenda for the next seated mayor and city council?
I see, as just coming back from the Rose Baker Center this morning, I went to an event over there for the seniors, and I hear it over and over again as I go on my listening tour and listen to not only people within Ward 2, but all over the city, but people are concerned about the roads, the sidewalks, and just the infrastructure. I'd say that's a recurring theme of many people. The issue is that, the city has only so much money. As you're probably aware, the city gets, X dollars a year from the state for roadway improvements, but these are not nearly enough money to, make everyone's streets magically better. So that is, I'd say, across the whole city, roads and sidewalks have really come up over and over and over, along with, in some neighborhoods such as the Fort, parking is a really big issue for them. Then I would say one of the top issues is the Fuller School. Whether it's, I think everyone's generally happy about the YMCA's, perceived improved facility, which I think would be an improved facility. But there's people discussing whether we need more retail, whether we need, why from an affordable housing point of view, are there not going to be units, affordable housing units put in the apartment complex? At least that's the current proposal, to not have affordable units in that apartment building. I'd say those are the two, and then I think some people also talk to me about, of course, the fishing industry and how can we help the fishing industry. We just had Angela Sanfilippo's 40th sort of year involved with the Fishermen's Wives Association, which is emblematic of the passion of this city with respect to the fishing community, which is so historic here. So that's an issue for a lot of people. And then I'd say just the development of or what to do with I-4C2 down on the waterfront is something that other people are interested in talking about. So there's just so many issues across. We're in the process now of rezoning East Gloucester, which was taken out of the DPA about two and a half years ago. So that's a big thing that people are participating in. There's a lot of passion. We've just gotten, we're now, Gloucester has two designated arts areas from the state, the MCC designated art areas of Rocky Neck Art Colony, and also now it's Harbortown, which is down on Main Street. So there's a lot of art galleries moving in, and there's a lot of, art is a big part of our economy and our culture and our soul here, and it's really growing on Main Street, which is very interesting and pretty exciting. So there's just so many things going on. It's hard to prioritize them, and that's what we need to do. We need to figure out what are the most important issues, and then we need to focus on them in terms of priorities and really laser beam, zoom in on them, and get things done.
Looking at the I-4C2, what it's like a mon. You know, I once jokingly said they should put a monument up there and put every elected official's name on it that's served in office that from the time they took it to the time they've not done anything with it. It seems like it's just impossible to put something in there. What do you see are the challenges that confront the city that make it so difficult to market or sell or make put that back on the tax rolls?
Yes, it's a great question. It's a 1.78 acre piece of land that has been vacant for about 50 years, five decades.
But it doesn't have direct water access. It's or does it?
Well, it's the city owns both the land and the city owns the dockage where the fishing boats are. So that's controlled by the Waterways Board. But in effect, you know, the city controls both the dockage and the land.
So if a business wanted to, that needed the water access, they could get that?
I think that they'd have to get the approval of the Waterways Board and the city, and, you know, there would be state and possibly federal permits together. There'd be a lot of permitting because it's a waterfront site.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, yes, I think anything's possible there. But here's the issue is that it's in the designated port area today, which means it has to be at least 50%, from what I can recall, maritime uses. And, you know, the question is how can we secure the maritime uses? What maritime uses can, you know, come up and pay some sort of a rent that would allow someone to do new construction? So new construction is incredibly expensive. That site will hold 40,000 square feet of development, I recommend, in two buildings, which would be perpendicular to Rogers Street, which would, you know, what's critical to me there is to preserve the view corridor. I mean, the view is fantastic there, you know, looking out into the harbor. But it's incredibly expensive for new construction. So right now, there's no rents being paid in Gloucester outside maybe a Dunkin' Donuts or something on a small piece of space that can come close to the kinds of rents you'd need to tenant that any buildings that you'd build there. So my thought was, as opposed to it being a $15 or $20 million project building 40,000 feet of buildings, they have it be a $2 to $3 million project where we create a wharf there and, you know, have parking where it is on the lower deck, pave that, create one large wharf with the big timbers, the big wharfing material, so that we could have community uses there. That would be perhaps a fish market as the fishing boats come in. It could be the harbor master. It could be public restrooms. In the wintertime, it could be a skating rink, and it's possible to maybe put up an umbrella bar there. Which is a temporary, quasi-temporary, you know, establishment that's very, you know, festive, and make it to be a very festive public area, with the hope at some point that there's the demand can be shown to, you know, possibly build one or two buildings there that are probably, you know, mainly or at least partially maritime uses. Where possibly.
Could you, for example, put City Hall there and then turn the City Hall building into a Faneuil Hall type thing with a way of showcasing the artists in Gloucester?
I think it's the other way around. I think City Hall is just this magnificent building as our City Hall. But to create at I-4C2 that festive feel, that Faneuil Hall feel, where it could be, you know, summer performers, it could be the fish market, where our fishermen actually bring their fish in and find the 5 or 10 funniest fishermen in Gloucester. And, you know, this is done in Seattle. It's done in San Francisco. People have great fun at fish markets. And it's kind of like a little show. And also they come and get their fresh fish there maybe on Saturdays. But I think that could be a real component. I mean, we're, you know, since 1623, we've been the, you know, one of the, if not the fishing capital of the United States. And it's our identity. And I think that festive atmosphere can be made at I-4C2. That's what that, in my opinion, in the short run, that's what that should be.
Okay,
and it's much more affordable than building buildings. It's really infrastructure and building a deck and having that, you know, all the plumbing, electric, et cetera, that you need.
Okay, we've got maybe two more minutes. tell us what you think about the marijuana, changing the marijuana law, and what the impact issues are for Gloucester.
The marijuana situation is, to me, it's an onion that you just keep peeling back and peeling back and finding out more about it. There's so much to it. For example, these gummy bears. I've got friends who visit us from Colorado, and they started telling me about how many milligrams of THC are in different things. There might be a 8 milligrams in a piece of chocolate that, you know, somebody might have to go have fun with, and then there's 35 milligrams in a gummy bear. I mean, it's just the edibles are, in my opinion, where the really the real discussion has to take place, because, you know, both with adults and with children, particularly children, you know, this can be really damaging if they ingest these things in these high doses, not knowing that they're laced with marijuana. On the other hand, there's so much marijuana available today in, you know, in our neighborhoods, with our kids, and unfortunately, I think that the drug lords are beginning to lace that marijuana with other elements to, you know, some of them are fentanyl, becoming fentanyl laced, just to sort of hook people. And so, really, because 50% of the people in the United States have voted for recreational marijuana, not by states, but by population, this is a way that I think the drug lords see. And I'm scared to death that they're going to continue to lace the black market marijuana with other drugs that are addictive, at least more addictive, and really try and hook more of our people on the drugs so they can make more money. And that's really, you know, on the other side of the coin, is there are benefits to having it regulated, and so you know that you don't have these other narcotics in the marijuana. So these are just two or three of the things of probably 30 or 40 that need to be understood, and the more I understand about it, the more I understand how complex it is and how really we've got to pay attention. We've got to get this right.
Great. I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Wish you the very best in your campaign and your volunteerism to help improve Gloucester.
That's great, Jess. Thanks for having me, and thanks for everybody. Take care now. Okay.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
The Institution for Savings has always believed in giving back to our communities because our communities are such great places to live and work. Last year alone, we donated and pledged more than $3.9 million to local nonprofits, including local hospitals, schools, food pantries, art organizations, and more. Named one of Boston Business Journal's top philanthropic companies, we are proud to be your local hometown bank. InstitutionForSavings.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Many aspects of estate planning are interrelated, and you can turn to attorney Bob Andruga for full-service estate planning to help you develop a comprehensive plan in providing for your future. Bob will work with you through the years to adapt your plan as needed, and he can assist you with managing wills, trust, probate, and taxes. Visit the law offices of Robert J. Andruga at 128 Main Street, Gloucester, or call today for an appointment at 978-283-6883.
Welcome back to Trending Now with Josh Arnold. Our next guest is Jen Holmgren, candidate for City Council at Large in Gloucester. Jen, welcome to the program.
Hi, Josh. Thank you for having me.
We usually start out and ask the guest to give us a 3 or 4 minute bio, and we'll ask you to do that, and then we could get to maybe some questions.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I want to say appreciate how prepared you are, and you clearly care about the community. Thank you for asking me, you know, such detailed questions. So I am a 37-year-old registered nurse, and I live in Gloucester, in West Gloucester, with my husband, Terry, and our daughter, Lizzie, who goes to West Parish Elementary School. She's currently in second grade. I am a Gloucester High School graduate. I graduated in 1998. with high honors. I was a Sawyer Medal winner. I've been involved in the community for many years now. I started as a counselor in training at Camp Spindrift when I was 14 years old. I was in the YMCA Leaders Club. I also worked at the Gloucester Prevention Network for a couple of years from ages 15 to 17 as a tobacco prevention peer leader. I went off to school to study communications first, believe it or not, at Syracuse. Then I decided to go for my RN, and I've been happily practicing nursing since the age of 25. So I've grown close to a lot of people in the community thanks to my work in the health and human services field. And my husband as well is involved in that field through his work as an advocate for people with disabilities. So we're intimately acquainted with issues in this community thanks to that. And I hope to contribute to City Council with both the eyes of a nurse and as a mother. So that's about that.
Great. What motivated you to run for office this year here in Gloucester?
Well, I think that it's important that we get a nurse on City Council. The city is dealing with a lot of health-related issues, most importantly, the opioid epidemic. I mean, that's, you know, hit us pretty hard, and I really do want to see, continued support for people in this area. I am very excited that the ANGEL program has been such a success. We've got, you know, PARI. I until very recently, worked with the North Shore Health Project. I actually just resigned from there to focus on my nursing career. I do want to help in terms of that, and also just strengthening our city's quality of life through taking a look at the economy and the budget and making sure that we're thriving. So.
Okay. How has the change in the law regarding marijuana for recreational purposes impacted the city of Gloucester in terms of zoning, permitting, and our other issues?
Oh, sure. Well, I was fortunate to attend a couple of the board meetings held by the Recreational Marijuana Task Force, spearheaded by Councillor Val Gilman. Of course, we had Jim Destino, our city's chief administrative officer there. We had representation from the school committee, thanks to Melissa Tixera, the Board of Health. So I know it was the will of the people to vote for recreational marijuana. 58% of the city voted in favor of it in the last election. That is, you know, based on what I heard at the board meetings, that was heard loud and clear by the city council and the administration. But the state, you know, is kind of trying to catch up with that whole thing, too. So everybody was very clear that the city needs to make sure that we have the infrastructure and the budget available and ready to be able to deal with retail shops when they come down the pike. As a teen working at the Gloucester Prevention Network and as a nurse, I have seen the negative impacts of drug use on, you know, families and on our society at large. But at the same time, I know that there are unethical drug dealers, you know, who have been selling joints laced with fentanyl recently, and that's, you know, had tragic consequences as well. So I sympathize with people's concerns about recreational shops, but the city has said, you know, they really want to take a good look at everything to make sure that they are ready when this does come down the pike. So.
The city charter and the Book of Ordinances contain lots of passages where it calls for a particular report. Some are annually. Some go to the mayor. Some go to the city council. Some go to state agencies. And it's not clear that these all get done or are even needed. Some of them make reference to technology that doesn't exist anymore. What are your thoughts about what's the plan for Gloucester to maybe update the documentation to support what happens as opposed to the other way around?
Well, I certainly agree. This is you know, an issue. I've seen the charter, I've looked at the ordinances, and just looking at everything and having attended many city council and subcommittee and board commission and committee meetings over the past couple of years, I can see that this would be a huge undertaking, just based on my short experience observing and also participating in the process. We are an old city. We have had, you know, different needs in the past, and we do need to look toward the future and updating the ordinance to reflect our current needs and foreseeing what we might need in the future is certainly something that I would support. It is a pretty daunting task, and it does cost the city money to update the charter on the Massachusetts Muni Code website. I can't remember how often they do it, but that's something that it's kind of a dollars and cents thing that, you know, the city has to consider as well. But even though it would be a lot of work, if I'm elected and this is something that people bring to me that they want to change, I'm very willing to help take on the challenge.
Okay, one of those sections in the city ordinances, section 2.7, calls for student government day. Now, when we were kids, when I was a kid anyway, they would have, and this was back before they had the charter change in 1975-76, you'd have a day where, you know, students would elect a mayor and a city council and a school board, and then they'd appoint a city manager and a police chief and a fire chief, and the kids would go spend the day with that person and learn about government. They'd have their own city council meeting and school board meeting, and, you know, if there were resolutions that were passed, they would forward them to the real adult city council, and they would take them up if they so chose. They don't do that anymore, and I'm wondering why.
Well, I can't speak to why. I do know that the mayor has had a child come in and be mayor for the day, and the Gloucester Police and the mayor and several city councilors, you know, have really worked to engage students through such things as the First R Foundation, the Cops and Kids, you know, lunches. My daughter always talks about how exciting it was to have police officers come meet her, you know, in the cafeteria at West Parish. And I have a funny story. I actually participated in Student Government Day when I was 14. That was back in 1994, and it wasn't a whole day, I don't think, but I remember being able to go and participate in a city council meeting, and I don't remember exactly what we talked about, something about parks and recreation, and classmates and I were able to participate in the process, and it really said, some good light on, exactly what the city government does, at least, you know, in that small sliver of time that we were able to participate. And, I know that we've got a lot of stuff going on. I know the city has a lot of priorities, but if that's something else that people want to bring back, I'd be really excited to get behind that. That was a lot of fun, and I think it's really important for kids in Gloucester to be engaged civically. Really helps.
How does the city's website, in your mind, serve the needs of the city's residents? I know that we create technology creates opportunities, but it also creates a certain demand, and someone has to do that work. But in relation to what's on there, or how it appears, or how often it's updated, how would you rate the city in terms of its performance, and what, if anything, might they change if you had some input into that?
Well, I'll say, unfortunately, again, it does come down to the budget. We need to make sure there's funding and time available for our city clerk's office and our IT department to update and manage the website, which is big. And with the day-to-day challenges I've seen them facing, having spent time in city buildings and, you know, as a Gloucester school parent, I've, you know, accessed the city website many times to look at calendars, helpful, you know, things like, schedules, the C-Click Fix app. I can tell, the city clerk and the IT department are really working very hard to make it look as professional and presentable as they can. I think that, it's a municipal website. There are lots of moving parts. and I frankly, I find it pretty easy to use. Do I think that there are maybe some things that could be improved, possibly? I'm not an information technology expert, but, you know, I'd be happy to support whatever endeavors, you know, the city is able to do in terms of making it as up-to-date as possible, considering time and budget restraints. So.
Right. Got a couple minutes left. Other cities north of Boston, some larger, some smaller, have established a commission on disabilities. Salem, Newburyport, Beverly, Stoneham, for example. Gloucester doesn't have one. Do you think it would be well served by one?
Oh, I would, you know, as a nurse, I'd be happy if the city were to develop a commission on disabilities. We have a lot, I mean, really so many boards, commissions, and committees, and run by capable, creative, and hardworking volunteers. They literally help the city run. We would not be the same community without them. And now that I'm on the Animal Advisory Committee, I can see, you know, what happens from that perspective, which is really helpful. I'm certain that if someone brought this issue to me on the city council, I'd do what I could to help develop it further. And to add, my husband is also an advocate for people with disabilities. He currently works at the Greater Waltham ARC. So we're both, you know, through our work, intimately acquainted with many of the issues people hear and up the line face day to day.
Well, we had a candidate for city council in Newburyport, Jenny Donahue, who is the chairman of the Disabilities Commission in Newburyport, and I was listening to some of her accomplishments and the work that they do there, and it occurred to me, why doesn't Gloucester have one? So that's I'm glad that you were able to address that. I want to thank you for being a guest on Trending Now with Josh Arnold, and certainly wish you the very best as you move forward with your campaign.
Thank you so much, Josh. I really appreciate it.
Great. Take care.
You too. Have a great day.
You too.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Score early and often this fall with a low-rate residential loan from the Institution for Savings. The Institution for Savings has fantastic rates, low or no fees, great service, and prompt turnaround. Plus, we service our mortgages in-house, so help is always a local phone call away. For more information or to apply online 24/7, visit institutionforsavingsloans.com or call us at 978-462-2344. Institution for Savings, member FDIC and DIF, equal housing lender.
Alrighty then. So, full hour. What do you got lined up now in the relatively near future?
Well, we have Bob Cronin, who's a candidate for mayor, will be a guest next week.
Where?
In Newburyport. I'm sorry. And Domingo Dominguez, a candidate for city council at large in Salem. And we have Laurie Stevens, who is a social media strategist with Criminal Focus out of Massachusetts and D.C. Will be a guest. Will be our third guest on next week. She, among her clients, include the Massachusetts State Police, the Toronto Police Department, and some others. So she's going to talk about how social media is used in the world of criminology.
Sounds good. And we have football coming up a week from today. We've got two games scheduled for next Friday. Check out the football schedule on our website. Two more games next Saturday. That's a week from today as the football season will get underway. Monday, we have North Shore Sports Night at 7 p.m., but not this Monday because of the holiday. We'll return Thursday with Connections, and I've got a special guest coming up on Connections next Thursday associated with the SETI Institute out in California, and that is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. So don't miss that. That's next week at 11 a.m. on Thursday. Josh returns on Friday at 10. Okay. All right, Josh, thank you. That's Josh Arnold, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. I'm Rick Moore. Have a great weekend.